In a news update, coming to you from New Hunter Church of Christ Online Radio Ministries. And we're going to be talking about the Sermon on the Mount series. And we're going to be talking about the title of the sermon is What Jesus Has to Say About Divorce. And I think on Facebook I said God hates divorce, because he does. But sometimes divorce does happen, and we're going to talk a little bit about that too, as well. And our scripture is taken from Matthew 5, verses verses 31 and 32. There we go. All right, we'll be right back. Today we're looking at Matthew. Before we get started in here, my mom sent me this wonderful card. And it's probably upside down. It's backwards, right? It says, "Happy birthday to a great son." I just got it today. It was on my door. It's kind of weird. It says, "You're smart, funny, caring, talented, hardworking, and an all-around good guy, too. Michael. But most of all, you're a great son. It says, because you're you. It says, happy birthday." Alright, with love. And this is what my mother wrote here. It says, we hope that you have a blessed and happy birthday kind of day. It says, please, hint, hint, use this $20 to get a haircut. Love, Mom and Terry." That was really nice. Beautiful card, isn't it? Beautiful card. Great son. Happy birthday to a great son. I got that today. It wasn't weird how it came today. I also want to say, as a personal note, that there are a lot of people that do care out here on Facebook. I appreciate all the wishes, the thank yous, the happy birthdays, even those who got in on the last 3-4 days of the end of the song or past the song of the happy birthday. But that still counts, because you're still my friend and I still love you, and I appreciate all your kind sentiments and words and wishes for my birthday. Thank you. Whether you got it in on the day or a few days after, that's still fine. I love you all too. Thank you for the wonderful words of encouragement, and just wishing me a happy birthday meant a lot too. Let's look at what Matthew 5 verse 31 says and 32 following. I'll be reading from the New Century Version. It says, divorce practices censored. Okay. Says, it was also once said, whenever divorce is, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife must give her a written notice or document of divorce, you know, to prove that they're divorced. It means that you can't just leave your wife hanging or your husband hanging. You gotta give them papers that they had to sign to show that they have been divorced, you know. I'm having problems here. So we go to 31, New Century Version, Matthew, or verse 32 actually. Jesus says, "But I tell you the truth, everyone who divorces his wife or husband, except in a case where sexual immorality happens or causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery again." So, you know, these things are very clear about what Jesus says about divorce. It's very clear. It's in, you know, hi-fi stereo, okay? Surround sound here. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 32, he says, "But I tell you the truth, everyone who divorces his wife or husband, except in the case of sexual impurity," or I would say death, that would be another one, it's not mentioned here. Well, you would divorce your husband or wife in death. That would just be, you wouldn't need to be divorced. But in sexual, just scratch what I said. I wasn't thinking there. Sexual immorality or impurity is what I said, which is the same thing. Or anything that causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever marries a divorced woman or a man commits still adultery. Because it is a relationship that was formed between another person. And, you know, that's what it says here. That we are not to marry other people that are divorced that came from adulterous relationships. I didn't make this up. This is what the scripture says here. And those people that, you know, that committed sexual immorality or impurity with their husband or wife. Those are the cases that would cause you to do that. But see, it's up to you. If you are a Christian, you can forgive that man or woman of that. But the other thing is, one thing also, I think God would also say, if a woman's life is in danger, and she could be killed by her husband, or if it's the other way around, the woman is causing, is really dangerous to the man, then the husband can terminate that relationship just like the woman can in divorce because of their welfare and their well-being, because their life may, if they stay with them, they may not be able, they may not live. So, you know, that's not here in this verse, but I think if it were more modern today, that would be part of that cause, because God doesn't like divorce. But I mean, if there's no compatibility or no hope for a person, then they're going to be violent and always hitting on each other. I don't think God wanted people to enter into a marriage, you know, arrangement to be hitting on each other. And he don't want people to be cheating around on each other either, you know? And that's why in practice we always say, in preachers and counselors like myself, we always say that, yeah, if someone's committing adultery or having affairs, whether it's a man or a woman, then if they choose to, they can divorce the person. But also, if you do get remarried again, don't remarry a woman or a man that's been from an adulterous relationship with another woman. Because as far as that goes, you know, God still thinks the person is still committing adultery. You know, like, don't go with another person just to get, you know, like it's a rebound. Because often people, when they get divorced, they'll often find another woman or man to go with as a rebound, which is still, you know, and sometimes they'll do it with another person that got divorced. Now, if a person died, you know, in the marriage, if the man lost his wife due to, you know, COVID or a vaccine, you know, reaction, or died of some other way, heart attack or stroke, or just, you know, then that's different because there's no divorce there. You can remarry. No question. God doesn't have a problem with that because there was no marital infidelity. But he says when you get remarried, when he says and marries another divorced person, it's like they're still committing adultery. But that, the scripture is really clear here. You don't want to be married to someone else that came out of another infidelity relationship. You want to make sure that marriage, the person who you're marrying, is not coming out of another adulterous relationship who you're marrying into, because that can cause problems too. And God is not happy with divorce. God does not like divorce, but the only time it can happen is if the person decides to divorce on the grounds of marital infidelity or marital impurity, meaning that either one of y'all are having, you know, outside relations with another, you know, man or woman, and if there's coming in between you all, that's adultery. That's adultery. So that's the time you can divorce. But, you know, also if they really are sincere and they really, really mean it, you can still stay married to them. That's a choice that God would like people to do, to still stay married, try to work through it, go through counseling and do it that way. If there's hope for that, then to save the marriage, God would say, yeah, give another go, because you love each other, you know. And if the person is really sincere who did the adultery and they don't want to cheat on you anymore, or cheat on the other, or you're the person doing the cheating, or the other person, then they won't do it again, and they'll stay faithful. But if they're not really sincere, you know, if only God really truly knows the motives of a man or woman's heart. And but that's what it says there, you know. Don't marry another woman or man that's coming out of a divorce relationship, you know, adulterous relationship. It's because of sexual immorality. You don't want to get in or into that because you're still committing adultery with another person. That's from the same thing, which God frowns upon, okay? Now let's look at what this, let's start a service. Now, today, divorce has reached such an all-time high state that we often agonize got a call coming in here interrupting here we often agonize in sequence where Christ came to a divorce prone culture, and he said striking things like the teaching to be corrected, you know, the law that's noted, that's mentioned in Deuteronomy 21 verses 1-4. Let's look at that. Let's turn to Deuteronomy verses 1-4. All right, marriage and divorce, concerning a marriage, about marriage and divorce, come from the New Century Version, which I call the North Carolina Version. If a man marries a woman, but she becomes displeasing to him because he finds something indecent about this woman, he may write her a divorce certificate, hand it over to her, and send her away from his house. And then it goes on to say, if after leaving his house, she goes and becomes another man's wife, and the second man hates her, he writes her a divorce certificate and hands it over to her, and sends her away from his very house. Or if he dies, the first husband who sent her away may not marry her again. It says, after she has been defiled because that would be detestable. So God is very clear about these things. I mean, a lot of people either don't want to talk about this, but we have to talk about it. I wanted to pull up because some of this stuff it didn't leave. Okay, here we go. That would be detestable to the Lord. It says you must not bring guilt on the land of the Lord your God is given you as an inheritance. So this can cause applications to a person's with their land too. So this is in Deuteronomy chapter 24 verses 1-4 where we get this from, and this is Old Testament, but also has a lot to do with, summarized a little bit in the New Testament we just read before we read this, right? So you know, we have to do this because, you know, it can also mess up your land or have problems with your land with growing and things, and it could hurt that if you bring somebody there. And God doesn't you know, doesn't like that, you know, and he takes it seriously. Divorce is a very serious thing that God hates, but does not, but doesn't fool around with. Don't monkey around with it. So we see the law, as we just read, portrayed in Deuteronomy, of how God talks about it, 24 verses 1 through 4 we just read. Adultery is not mentioned here, though, but the object of the very Mosaic relation was to control divorce. That's what it was about. Moses laid down three great principles here. All right, we're going to see what they are. Divorce is limited to certain causes. One would be natural, like if someone died. Well, it says natural here. And it says moral. And then it says physical defect in the wife, like something you're displeased with, something displeasing about her. Or it could be the other way around. Of course, you know, but nowadays it could go both ways, because the wife could do that to a husband too. But, you know, there it was a man that made the decision back then, you know, in that those affairs, but now it goes both ways nowadays. But men who divorced their wife was required to give bill of divorcement to their wife, the one who they were divorcing. Man who divorced his wife was not allowed to marry her again. You know, marriage, not something to walk in and out of at will. You know, just because you get tired of them or you don't like something, you gotta stick with it. You know, God says to stay married to him no matter what. I mean, it's not something you just walk in on a whim, you know? Another thing. This is stuff the scribes and Pharisees, all right? They said the law urged or commanded divorce under certain conditions. It says, this brought chaos back into the situation. The correct teaching, however, is a minimum allowable, okay? It says, debate not easy to settle here when it comes to this matter. It says, if divorce is allowed at all, it is only allowed for the non-adultering party in a case of adultery. So it only applies to the person that did commit adultery. The one that was faithful, that's where it is applicable. But if a person is not faithful, they can't remarry that person again if they were to come back together. Principle present, or the principle that's being presented here. Christ is stressing the very lasting nature of marriage. You know, reasons for which divorce is commonly granted disappear. Okay? Commonly granted disappear. All right, now the third thing we want to look at is the broader stress it causes. You know, the demands of the gospel run counter to our culture, you know, because it has to do with the moral right and the moral wrong. And Jesus was all about moral rights and wrong. So he doesn't go by what modern law says or what modern lawyers say. Like I was saying a little bit ago, a woman could file an adultery on a man today, but the Bible says something a little differently. Bible says a man follows it on the woman, but if the man is the one that's the guilty party, today a woman could do the same thing to a man. Because if she's faithful, she can remarry. Or if he's faithful and she committed adultery, he can remarry. Okay, but if the other person that committed adultery cannot remarry, cannot remarry that person who they divorced. All right? They can get, well, and then some people say that, you know, what it says in the Bible, when you look at it more closely, it says you can't remarry at all. You cannot remarry again. I mean, that's what it says. It's horrible, but that's what it says here. You cannot remarry again. Once you divorce someone, you cannot remarry. But then the modern teachings say, which ain't from the Bible now, but they say, that's why it goes counter to what we believe. That's what it's talked about there, like counters our modern day culture, because it's not the same. What the Bible says and what culture dictates are totally different. What the modern day, how they do things, is different from the way it was done in the biblical times. And the way it probably should still be done today is the same way in the Bible. But in conclusion, I want you to think about this. Christianity makes claims that run counter to all modern culture today. It says, are you living according to them? Christianity makes claims of another kind, however, and it does. We just read that. It says, have you explored these claims that's made in Deuteronomy and what's made in Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32 of which we read? They're different from what lawyers say. You can go by modern culture and do it that way, but in God's eyes, it would not be counted or accepted as a proper divorce. So we have to look at what the scripture says, not based on what man says, but look at what God has said explicitly in that text. What Jesus says, he'd rather have no one divorce. He'd rather have people make up and repent of their adultery. You know, people can repent of that adultery. You don't have to get divorced unless you want to. That's what it does say in the Bible. You can, if you choose to, you can. But God also, you know, adultery is a forgivable sin, is it not? So I'm not playing with words or taking away or adding to scripture. I'm asking you a question. Is adultery a forgivable sin? The answer is yes. So if a man is guilty of it or a woman's guilty of it, they can still be forgiven, so therefore you can restore the marriage, right? If the person really wants to, really stay married to that person. And it takes a lot of love to do that, but if you really love somebody and they're really truthful to you and they really want to do that, then therefore you saved from having to get divorced. God would rather see two people repent, you know, the one that was doing the adultery and the one that was faithful, the person that they would repent and they would still stay together to save their marriage. That's what I get from reading what it says in Deuteronomy. You know, but yet if you want to divorce, there is a clause there or way out where a person can get divorced because of the person being unfaithful to them, if you choose to. But that's between you and the person you're with. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for all these things you say about divorce. Thank you for giving me the wisdom of what to say about it, because I know you don't like divorce. I know that everything that we should do is a lot better is try to save a marriage, to save divorce, because that's what the Bible tells us. You know, that we should stick together, thick and thin, because God doesn't like divorce at all. But the only time that can happen is if a person's life is being threatened to the point of where it could cause them to lose their life, you know, or it's because of marital impurity, meaning marital morality, where that one partner goes out and commits a sexual sin with another person outside the marriage and commits adultery with that person, then divorce can be properly established. But if a person chooses to forgive that person and to save that marriage, God leaves that open too for the people to discuss and decide if they want to do that or not. And Lord, it's so wonderful that you provide that way out through your Son, Jesus, and through your forgiveness. And hey, all forgiveness and adultery is a forgivable sin. And if a person is really wanting to change and commit because he really repents and he's really remorseful, then that marriage will be saved and spared because they really believe and we know why they got married, for richer or for poor, for sickness or health, to death to us part. What does vows mean to you? You know, why would you go crazy and fall in love with this beautiful woman? Or why would you fall in love with a handsome man if you're a woman and want to go out and marry or be in another relationship with another man? I mean, if you're having problems with communicating with your wife or your husband, find out why those communication problems exist and try to work through those problems and try to discuss them. If you need a mediator, then go to a counselor. But whatever you do, don't resort to adultery. I know marriage is hard. I know you're saying, I don't understand because I'm not married. No, I'm not. Not yet. But I know God would be very happy, a lot happier, if we could settle these things without going to court and getting divorced. Because God wants people to stay married. And even those people that have fallen and committed adultery, they repent and don't do it again. Then God will restore that relationship between those two people. There's a way, there's a clause there. It's not me making it up, it's true. God has provided that as a clause, for that's up to the people to decide. And Lord, it's so wonderful how you give us that clause, because you don't like divorce. You can't stand it. You know, I'm a child that came out of a marriage with my mother divorcing. And it's a shame, but sometimes people get married and they don't really know each other. You know, like, I know Beth Ann very well. I like Beth. I love her more than anything. And I know she's younger than me, but I know her very well. And we talk, we've talked for the past couple of years. You know, it's like my intentions, Lord, for Beth Ann are good. I want her to finish school. I don't want her to drop out of school. I want her to continue to go to high school. I want her to graduate. If she wants, Lord, to go to college, she can go to college too if that's what she chooses to do, Lord. You know, I don't want her to deviate from what she's supposed to do. I want to see her while she's still in school, high school, if I can see her. But I don't want her to drop out of school or quit school. I never said that. And, you know, Beth Ann will tell them that's the truth. I want her to go to school. I want her to finish school. I want her to go to college if she wants to. I've got 3 degrees. I don't want her to, you know, give up her dream either. I want her to continue with her dreams so she can do what she wants to do when she's apart from me as an individual and go do her dreams, the teaching or whatever it is. I want her to finish high school. I want her to go to college. I want what's best for her so she'll be successful and so she'll be happy and then doing something and having a purpose outside of having children, but also have something to do to fall back on. You know, that's what I want for her. You know? And the thing is, I would never, ever want to do that to her. It would break her heart. And I wouldn't want to even think of daring to do it to her. And, you know, I don't think she would ever do that to me either. You know? But see, that's what you have to do. You have to save the marriage. You know, if that happens, you have to, God allows you to have an opportunity to save that marriage if you choose to. But it also gives you an opportunity to divorce if you want to. So you have a choice there. When I read it, there is a choice there. Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of all sins, didn't he? Well, he can also forgive a person of the sin of adultery, too. And if a person is really true and sincere and they really want to help and they want to take steps to stop and go to counseling to do that, by all means, do so. Allow that. Because God does not want people to get divorced. He don't bring people together to divorce him. But you should try every effort first. Because today, people can get divorced according to modern culture, which isn't scripture. But people can get divorced over anything. They don't like the way you smell. They don't like the way you walk. They don't like the way you cook or the way you toast the bread. I'm serious. People got divorced over this stuff. You know, they don't like how you dress. They don't like what you say. They don't like blah, blah, blah. you have to deal, when you get married, you deal with those things. There's no reason to get divorced over the little petty nonsense, because that's not really a cause for divorce. But marital stuff, that's serious. Infidelity, that is a very, very serious thing. You don't go out and have affairs with other men or women when you're in a committed relationship, a marital that God ordained. That is so serious, people. It's so easy for people just to walk out now. The way the laws are, it's like 7-Eleven now. But the Bible doesn't teach it that way. We have to be people that are upholding God's law, not the world's law or the law of the moment like the world has it. But we need to follow His law, which supersedes our culture and our laws of the day. See, that's what we have to remember, folks. And Lord, thank You for that wonderful words that You give us that are stern, but they're true, because that's, even though it comes from Moses, it's still the same in the law and the covenant under Christ. That hasn't changed when it comes to the matters of divorce. You know, culture, whatever culture or whatever society dictates, is not always righteous in the eyes of the Lord. And we apply that standardality and legal pluralities. You didn't think I knew those words, because I know a little bit about law. Sometimes that law does not agree with God's law. It contradicts it. So you still could be sinning. So just because the law of the land says you can do this does not necessarily mean in God's eyes that it's right. So that's what you have to remember. Doesn't matter what your lawyer, two-bit lawyer, says that you pay a retainer to, $1,100 or more. You know, you got to remember, what does God say about that? And that's what law that trumps the lawyer that you hired to write up these papers. And you have to look at it that way, objectively, with everything, not just divorce. Lord, thank You for You. Thank You for Your Savior. Thank You for Your time. Thank You for me, Lord, to speak these words, because I know they're from You. They're not from me. They're not my selfish thoughts. They're Your speaking through me through the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'm reaching somebody. Maybe I'm saving somebody's life. Maybe I'm helping people come together. Maybe I'm helping people that come into a relationship, they'll be stronger. But at any rate, Lord, whatever the words are, I'm using Your words. They're not mine. Thank You, Lord. Hope I helped somebody out there today. Hope it changes somebody later on when they listen to this, or when they hear us on the air on XM radio. Thank You for everything that You do, Lord, because You're so wonderful and abundantly pleasing. Help people who give to this podcast, this program here on Facebook. They'll be desired and moved to give. And, you know, we mentioned those things. My phone number is 252-833-9067. You can give that way through a debit card or credit card. You can be moved to give through a Cash App, Lord. You know, and my ID is the $, my name, which is Michael, capital M, lowercase, all letters, or lowercase after that. That's I-K-E-L. And then DeSilva, no space, it's capital D, small e, capital S, small I-L-V-I-S. And that's my Cash App ID if you want to give that way. But whatever you give, a couple dollars, maybe there's a nice generous donor that could give us the $650 we need. Maybe a couple of you could. You know, make a difference to help me out with this ministry and help us so we can do more stuff and be able to do more things with the money that's given. Maybe more people could give more money than that. And Lord, we need the money. We need it for the work that is due, for the harvest is many, but there's few workers, and we need it for that work, so that few workers can reach the hearts of many, like what we do here each and every Sunday, kicking it hot, fresh. And Jesus, in Your wonderful name, I pray that You bless this ministry and that people will be wanting to give. Amen. You know, the communion that comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want you to look at that. I've taken communion. Get your emblems, the grape juice. And also take the wafer, the flat unleavened bread. It's like a wafer. It's flat. No yeast is in it. And you can use a saltine cracker. Any kind of cracker will do if you don't have this kind of wafer. In grape juice, you can use that or grape soda. Pray over those emblems so they're blessed by God. Then you want to take them, as it says, take the body first and then take the blood second. The body reminds us of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. His blood reminds us of what he did on the cross, where it was shed for us, and how that covers our sins and chills us from all spells, all curses, all negativity statements that people want to put on us. I call it negative clausalities, or pluralities, because legally that's what they are. Anybody that's jealous or envious of our wives or husbands, that God shields us from that with the covering of his blood. God gives us extra protections towards supernatural demonic forces, Satan forces, or other principalities that are not mentioned but yet are evil in this universe and in other realms that are higher or lower that come into our universe that are here to do nothing but bad. For God protects us with his blood, which gives us his power to be able, not our power, but his power to cleanse us and to keep us safe from evil and harm. Bless this congregation online, Lord. Bless this reunion with this as we come together and close out communion. Bless these people. Know why we're together. You know, whether we have mental problems, whether we can't go or sick or shut in, people come here for an excellent soundboard to hear the real word, true words of God coming through my mouth. That you speaking, Lord, not Michael, but you, God. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. I love you all. And, you know, go out and fight the devil. Take more than one person with you. It's always better to go in groups of 2 to 4 or 6. That way you can go out there and be able to have more minds looking at things together instead of one person doing it. You're more better when you go out in teams of groups of 2 or 4 or 6 than you do going out by yourself. Because even with all the knowledge you have, there's no case for the devil's trickery. But when you have more people, you have a better chance of winning than you do by yourself. Take care, everybody. I love you. God bless. And remember, Jesus loves you too. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Thank you, Jesus. Take care, everybody. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. I'll see you next week. We'll have another powerful message from the Sermon on the Mount series. It's Michael signing off on the radio and also on Facebook Live. Thank you for listening, everybody. I love you. Bye-bye.